Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And we both welcome you back to the New World next week, James. And this is our episode 120. So we were away last week, so I'm very excited and happy to be back with you here. Everything that you need, all the documentation, all the audio, video, all that and so much more, NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, let's get right into it with a story that is making the rounds in the geopolitical scene, but it goes into so much more, as we always see here. This comes from the Associated Press, and we grab it from the Washington Post. North Korea's Kim Jong-un rivals father and grandfather with a growing list of titles. Kim Jong-un is not the president of North Korea. That title belongs eternally, the government says, to his late grandfather, Kim Il-sung, the nation's founder. But the younger Kim has picked up a slew of big titles in the 7 months since he became the country's leader. There is an entire list. Marshal of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, North Korea's official name. So he was granted that title in a meeting of top government, military, and Workers' Party officials yesterday, July 17th. The decision was made a day after the surprise announcement of the dismissal of the army chief. Kim previously was promoted to four-star general in September 2010. James, just quickly running down the rest of the list. First chairman of the National Defense Commission, first secretary of the Workers' Party, chairman of the party's Central Military Commission, member of the presidium of the party's political bureau, and finally, supreme commander of the Korean People's Army. James, there are some interesting related notes to this, but what's your take on the slew of titles?
Well, as the supreme commander of the Corbett Report, I approve. It's ridiculous. But there's a couple of levels to this story, I suppose. The first one, the most immediate, is, of course, the base geopolitical level, which everyone's talking about. What does this mean? Of course, his top military leader was ousted recently, and he's taken over the position. So is he trying to assert himself more militarily? How will that play out? Will they step up their talk about South Korea and being aggressive? Will they tone it down? You know, how will this play out on that level? Very interesting, I guess, to take a look at that level. But I think much more interesting is what this fundamentally tells us about the way tyrannies inevitably play out. Because we've seen this time and time and time and time again throughout history, that as the tyrants become more and more detached from reality, and you get the second, third, fourth, fifth generation tyrants down the line who have never known anything outside of this this complete and total pandering to their every whim, they become so detached from reality, and the entire tyranny itself becomes so detached from reality that you have these made-up, ridiculous stories and titles and all of this pomp and ceremony, and eventually it ends up with, you know, the Caesars marrying their horses and things. I mean, it just becomes this type of insanity, and we can look at that from our perspective and laugh at the North Koreans. Oh, they actually believe that, you know, Kim Jong-il, you know, was born on some mountaintop and, you know, descended from the heavens or whatever it is that they're taught in school. But I think all this is the logical extension of this type of tyrannical form of government, which we've already seen instituted in our own levels, in our own republics and kingdoms or wherever you happen to live on this globe, where the leaders just get much more detached from reality as time goes forward. So I think that this is just an interesting glimpse into what the next stage in all of this is. And it's always irrational, and it always asks the people to buy into that rationality. And if they don't, at least on the surface, buy into it and wail and weep and moan when their beloved leader dies, etc., as we saw recently in North Korea, you'll get dragged away to the camps and worked to death. So it's just an interesting little insight into how these tyrannies inevitably devolve. And unfortunately, as our next story will show us, we're not so far away from that in our own countries as we'd like to think.
Some of the related notes, James, to this first story surrounding North Korea. From the Christian Science Monitor, North Korea leader gives thumbs up to Rocky and Disney characters. There was a a gala performance that featured music from the movie Rocky and Walt Disney's It's a Small World and even Frank Sinatra's My Way that Kim Jong-un was attending, which has injected this sort of usually reviled Western culture. And there's even a mystery woman that's been hanging around. You know, is this an old girlfriend that his father kind of pushed away? I find it interesting that she's being referred to as the girl in the polka dot dress. But James, what you were referring to with our second story, and again, we'll provide all the documentation, all the links. There will be these and so much more that we discuss and everything to flesh out all the information too. Again, go do your own homework. Our second comes from The Guardian, and the main headline, James, court order prevents the BBC from broadcasting film about the riots. Fascinating note, this is another entry in the series from The Guardian called Reading the Riots, Investigating England's Summer of Disorder, which is in partnership with the London School of Economics and the Open Society Foundation. So we'll save that for another discussion, James. But the BBC pulled a film about the experience of rioters during last summer's disturbances just hours before it was due to be broadcast Monday night after a ruling from a judge. It was a dramatization based on testimony and interviews conducted for The Guardian and the London School of Economics into the disorder from last summer. It was a two-part series. I'm not sure if we'll be able to see bits of this ourselves, James.
I have absolutely no idea. But it's very bizarre. Why was this disallowed? Why aren't we allowed to see it?
That is an excellent question. I can't help but...
It doesn't say. It says that we're not even allowed to know why this film isn't being allowed to be shown, which I thought was particularly Orwellian, especially coming from the Big Brother corporation that Orwell was writing about. I mean, everyone knows he worked for the BBC. He worked as a propagandist. He was writing about the BBC in 1984. And here we are. We have this BBC documentary of sorts that they're not allowing to show us, and they won't even say why they're not allowing it. It's so Orwellian, so bizarre, so tyrannical. But just another step along the road to the police state. And as I understand it, I mean, it's not the only example of this type of censorship that we've seen lately or are likely to see.
A court order has been made that has prevented the BBC from broadcasting the program The Riots, in their own words, tonight. We will put it out at a later date. The BBC did not give details about the nature of the court order or which judge made the ruling. That's even better, James. On a related note, one would say this could unfortunately set the stage for God knows what they're preparing and who are they in the first place, but for the Olympics, which are coming very soon, James. I also relate it in specifically to the riots last summer in London that we can look here in America, and just recently in Florida, there was a really bizarre kind of flash mob or flash rob, if you will, as we've seen these go all around, and the video in a way almost reminds me of the birds. So mentioning Hitchcock, James, and this episode of New World Next Week has been replete with media references, which I'm always happy with. From MTV.com, James, I don't believe we've cited them as a source before, but here it is for our third story this week. Is The Dark Knight Rises a political flick? When moviegoers finally lay eyes on the ultimate installment of Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy, The Dark Knight Rises, they might wonder whether the writer-director consulted a psychic hotline before penning the Caped Crusaders finale. After all, with themes of terrorism and economic inequality, the narrative feels oddly prescient. But should it? Are the film's themes purposefully political, or is it a matter of audiences drawing their own conclusions based on current events? So MTV News interviewed Gary Oldman and Joseph Gordon-Levitt from the film, where Oldman says, "I think it's what people read into it. At the time, I don't think 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, that you can predict that. You can take the temperature of something, but you can't." As brilliant as Christopher Nolan is, he doesn't have a crystal ball. So it's very much culture and our consciousness, isn't it? Our subconscious, where we're at in the world right now. So you can read in rather than read out. The other note to this, James, that I find fascinating, which, again, it all swirls around in the media stew. I saw it several days ago from a source I often cite, Lauren Coleman of The Copycat Effect. He had it out days ago, making the connection, and perhaps he wasn't the first, but to Bane and Bane. Bane, capital being Mitt Romney, and then Bane, the main enemy in this Batman film that, you know, even older comic geeks like myself will remember when it was such a big deal that Bane broke Batman's back in the comic books years ago. So the predictive programming and the memes are all there floating around, but then you see it kind of filter to the surface where today you have Rush Limbaugh talking about it and CNN now covering it. And yeah, on CNN, Limbaugh and the Dark Knight Rises conspiracy, James. So is it a political flick?
That's a great question. I wouldn't know because I haven't seen it, and I'm in fact not really planning to see it because I don't actually enjoy those Batman movies as much as the rest of the world seems to, but whatever, maybe that's just me. But I don't really understand what the MTV article's even talking about because, it was written 2.5 years ago, but it was talking about terrorism and economic collapse, as if terrorism and economic collapse wasn't happening 2.5 years ago. Like, there's nothing at all prescient about this as far as I can see. It was actually happening, and perhaps even more so a few years ago, in the midst of the economic crisis, but so I don't really get it. But at least they're talking about this and raising the specter of predictive programming and making people think about how Hollywood intersects with the economy and the world at large and what they're trying to make us think about. So at the very least, hopefully it'll wake up a few of the more zombified people who are just in that stupor watching anything that comes out of Hollywood to maybe make them think about how this intersects with the real world and how it's trying to influence people's brains.
I've covered recently a lot of the other kind of bizarre imagery with singer Lana Del Rey and her recent video called National Anthem that plays sort of her as Jackie O, and then there's a black JFK, and today we have the birther story back in the news, and we also see political campaigns using a Bible verse to something about let his days in office be short. So James, you can just glance at almost any news source in the world and have this moment of just, what on earth is going on? And that's ultimately where we're at, trying to ask that question and trying to figure it all out. James, just briefly in closing, if I may, I was out of town last week, so I have been kind of out of the loop, and I'm kind of working to put everything together to get back on the air with Media Monarchy this coming week. We will be live on the air. However, twitter.com/Media Monarchy is pretty much always tapped in and up to date. And I could be out of town and come back and check my Twitter feed and see all of these memes playing out, whether it's the economy or geopolitics or Bane and Batman and predictive programming. The other note, James, I've been out of town, out of the loop, and I've been a little bit out of sorts, which we can get into tomorrow on the latest episode of Food World Order.
You say tomorrow, but you mean tonight, because people will be watching this on Thursday, American time. But yes, absolutely. Tune into Food World Order on Corbett Report Radio Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Central, republicbroadcasting.org, and it will be archived at corbettreport.com, video and audio. So, James, excellent. Thank you, as always. Looking forward to talking to you.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Take care.